Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
Oh, I forgot the last part. And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
We haven't been doing this for very long, so...
It's still fresh.
It's just like the first day.
I feel like you were better in the first day.
Were we?
Do you remember when
we were also in person the first day?
I was going to say, we would get together in person and try to crank out a bunch of episodes.
That was exhausting.
It was exhausting. Memories.
We missed last week because some of us were doing things that we couldn't plan ahead of. We apologize. Drew, what were you doing?
I was adopting a puppy.
Ooh. How's
we got
it going?
A new member.
He's a lot of energy.
He's a puppy.
I know. But you'd think it would run out after a full day of playing.
Nope.
He's also a little skittish. He doesn't like cars. Like, if we're on a walk and a car drives by, he will lay down and not move until he's absolutely sure that the car is gone.
That's just sad.
He's riding.
Yeah, I had to. He likes to be carried, which is cute, but I had to carry him during our walk today because on one side of the street, there was a man doing some noisy work in his driveway, which was upsetting for him, for my dog. Fred is his name. And then on the opposite side of the street, there were two dogs in their own backyard just barking at us. So that was upsetting to Fred. And then a car drove by, and then an Amazon truck had the nerve to pull over in front of us.
Oh, poor
so
Fred.
Fred would not move. He was...
That feels all a lot and really overstimulating, and I don't think Fred was in the wrong at all.
No.
No, I'm not saying he was. I'm just saying it's a little silly that I had to carry him on our walk.
I wish we had a picture of you carrying him, because he's not a tiny puppy.
No, but he curls up real good.
Oh.
I'll send you a picture of Lou carrying him.
Okay.
I get tired when I'm on walks too, and I would just like someone to carry me as well.
Well, what I'm saying is, the walk is meant for him to, one, use the bathroom, and two, get some energy out. And I feel like he's not expending any energy when I'm carrying him.
Well, yeah, you're there to carry him.
It also was confusing to my other dog, Tegan, because she was like, wait, what's happening now?
That's an option? I could be doing this the entire time?
No, she didn't want to. I think she likes having a walking buddy.
Right.
And so when he suddenly disappeared from her eyeline, she was like, wait, where did he go?
It's confusing.
She kept stopping and looking around, and I was like, he's up here, bud. I'm holding him because he's a big baby. Yes, you are. Yes, you are a big baby. You're a big baby. Yeah. All right, stop looking at me. Calm down.
Calm.
Huh?
Told me to calm down. I'm calm.
I told him to calm down. He's getting a little excited because I was talking to him.
I can't see you, so I don't know who you're looking at. Anyway, are we ready to get in? Or any other news?
Are you going to say, I don't want to take all the blame for why we didn't record.
I was at a family reunion this past weekend, so.
Fair. Sometimes we have things.
Yeah, Lacey, what were you doing? Anything fun?
My mother-in-law came to visit for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hanging.
Oh,
yeah.
Have you gotten your roommate yet?
No, it's probably not going to happen.
Oh,
or
okay.
At least it seems at this point it's not.
Did it get all figured out with the current situation?
We haven't heard much.
Okay.
No. Unrelated to me, I did want to say we had like a quick update. I don't know if it's an update because we had talked before about how Lori Daybell was convicted of killing her husband.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing. And they just gave 2 more life sentences to her.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. But I feel like we need to shout somebody out who doesn't get a whole lot of recognition in the whole Lori Daybell thing, and that's Kay Woodcock. Kay was the grandmother of JJ, Lori's the son who was killed, because Lori adopted him. Her husband who she killed, Charles Vallow, JJ was like his great-nephew whose grandparents took him in when he was a baby, and that was Kay and her husband Larry, and then he was just a little bit too much for them, so Lori and Charles adopted him. But Kay was the first one who realized the kids were missing. Like, she was the one who was calling Lori and was like, let me talk to JJ, because she wouldn't, and was getting all kinds of weird stories, and she finally called the cops and was like, I think that my grandson's missing. And they went to Lori. Lori was like, oh, he's with his grandmother, Kay. And they were like, oh, suspicious.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kay is the one who got things rolling when they did. And if she hadn't noticed something was wrong and, like, gone to the police, who knows how long it might have been before somebody else who cared noticed that the kid was missing. So
shout out to Kay.
Shout out to Kay.
Go Kay.
And now hopefully they can finally be done with all this.
Okay.
Yes.
Lacey, or Bailey, what are we talking about today?
This will be fun. Okay. So, we are doing a little something different because I was really indecisive and losing interest in a lot of the cases that I said I was going to do, but just didn't have the bandwidth to do it. So, we are talking about 2 really awful women.
Which ones?
We're going to be talking about Angela Simpson.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
So, she was born November 29th, 1975. She claimed she had a long history of mental illness and was hospitalized at the age of 10. She also said that she began abusing drugs early on. In August 2009, Phoenix police were called for a residential trash bin fire where human remains were found. Fingerprints identified the victim as 46-year-old Terry Neely. I'm going to hurt him if he's coughing. Sorry. Oh my god, you got ice cream without me? This is bullshit. What kind of sister are you?
Anyway. Ice cream every single time.
Yeah, when I'm not talking.
And okay. And I'm not talking this time. And also, in my defense, my camera wasn't working for a very long time before, so you would not have known.
In your defense, it was gonna be a secret.
That makes it worse.
Just don't look at me.
That's a lie of omission.
You'll be blacked out soon anyway.
Yeah, I'll laugh at something and my camera will go off. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Great. August 2nd, 2009, Terry left his assisted care facility in his wheelchair. He was lured to an apartment by 33-year-old Angela with the promise of drugs and sex. Once in the apartment, she forcibly held him and held him for 3 days, torturing him. She beat him with a tire iron, stabbed him at least 50 times. Bless you. That would be a true.
Is he sick?
No.
Didn't you just yell at him for coughing?
He has an ear infection and like stayed home today and was like, I don't feel well, but like I think it's a man cold.
I didn't know that adults could get ear infections.
I had one.
We have ears, so.
Yeah, I got the last one I had. It was really bad. It was in my middle ear. Mm. That was from swimming in a not great pool. Oh,
there you go. Someone's very a pool cat. Cool.
Yeah, Pat just threw sunglasses at me. So
that's love.
Yeah, you're being a little bitch over there. Just kidding. Okay. So Angela held him, she beat him with a tire iron, stabbed him at least 50 times with multiple different knives. She hammered a 3-inch nail into his skull that did hit his brain, obviously.
Jesus.
And extracted his teeth. On top of the torture that she was inflicting on him, she also threw in some psychological torture by pointing a mirror back at him so he could watch his own torture.
I don't like that.
No.
She said he needed to see what he deserved.
What did he do to her?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
She slashed his throat and strangled him with a TV cord. She eventually dismembered him and tossed his remains in a nearby residential trash bin and then set fire to cover the murder, or attempt to cover the murder. Terry's assisted care facility filed a missing persons report. The authorities eventually found his wheelchair near an apartment of 36-year-old Edward McFarland, who was a known associate of Simpson. While searching the apartment, they found bloodstains that matched Neely. During the investigation, one witness told them that they reported seeing smoke coming from the apartment, and as he approached the apartment, he saw a fire in a trash can inside the apartment in the kitchen. He also said that he saw Simpson and McFarlane asked to borrow his car, and then Simpson confessed to killing Neely, and Simpson threatened him that they would kill him if he reported it. Easily enough, the police didn't have to search far to find McFarlane and Simpson because they were already in jail for another cause.
That's so convenient.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were real easy to interview because they were caught in an armed robbery. August 18th, Simpson freely admitted to killing Neely. She said she murdered him because he was a snitch, and he snitched on a righteous person years ago, but he kept on saying he was a snitch. She couldn't trust him.
He snitched on someone, a righteous person, years ago.
Righteous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phoenix police had no record of Neely ever being an informant or telling or snitching on anyone ever. So,
well, she didn't say he was a snitch to the police. Maybe he told her mom about something.
Fair. During a 2009 interview, she defended her horrific actions to the public. She said, "I don't want my children or the people I consider family to be in a place where there are snitches. I believe informants and child molesters should be killed, period."
Those are two different categories. I was gonna say, of people.
I don't think they fit together.
I was almost going to nod, and then I was like, informants?
Yeah, no.
One could argue that murderers are worse than informants.
You're going to really like the clips of her interview I have, then. Oh, I forgot what was it. Hold on.
My gut says that I'm not.
No. she's really taking the whole, like, snitches get stitches slogan to heart, you know? March 22nd, 2012, she pled guilty to first-degree murder. She was sentenced to life in prison plus 14 additional years on other charges. After her sentencing, she did another interview where her answers are quite unhinged. She claims to think that everyone has a reason to kill.
You just gotta find it.
During the interview, they asked her, like, how do you feel about, like, being, like, in prison for your life? Like, do you think that you should have, like, received the death penalty? Do you think that, like, justice was served? And she was like, No, I don't think justice was served because I think I do deserve the death penalty, but I'm happy to be sentenced to prison. Because
Honest.
she has a lot of family in prison. She has many sisters in prison and can't wait to see them.
Oh.
She also said that it's not much of a punishment, to be sentenced to spend life with her family.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
But okay.
It's a good way to like a good outlook to have.
Just
Very glass half full.
finding the positive. If you drew in the Facebook chat, I sent you a video. If you can play it at some things, I will tell you when. I have a feeling, because it was so recent, you might recognize her based off like looking at her.
I can tell you right now, that is not what I was picturing.
Okay, so you're gonna start it and play it to 30 seconds.
Years and I've been with the police, and I'm one of our colleagues talked to you once upon a time. You're very upfront
Pretty much.
about talking about this killing.
Right.
You murdered this man.
Yes.
You tortured him.
Of course.
There is no ambiguity, and there is nothing you want us. Yeah, in court today, you said you're not here to pretend to be remorseful.
Of course not. Why would I do that?
Are you remorseful?
Not at all.
Why?
Why would I be?
Well, why did this
You can
man
stop it there.
die? You
Yeah, she became a meme.
Go to 6 minutes, 10 seconds, please.
She makes me uncomfortable.
No,
But
you're gonna play.
anyway, okay. Do you
Sorry.
believe him? Do you think he really was a snitch?
Oops, if he wasn't.
You can stop it.
Yes, I believe you.
Oops.
Go to
If he
11.
wasn't,
Go to
all this
11
is.
minutes 30.
Even the ones who don't have remorse usually pretend
She
to.
really, yeah, that's like, she's very, it's very, like,
It's weird. It's like
uncomfortable. Oops, if
unsettling.
he wasn't.
Oh my God.
Would you, if you had that moment to live over again,
I'd have kept him alive a week.
but you would have still tortured him and killed
Oh,
him?
I had to torture him for a week, yeah, instead of 3 days. Definitely.
So your only regret is that the torture didn't go on any longer.
Right, and I regret not killing my other victim. I should have killed him too. I just didn't have time. I had to go somewhere.
And tell
So,
me who that other victim was.
Joseph Ventress for the armed robbery. Yeah, I should have killed him, but I had to go.
Will you kill again?
If the opportunity arises, I hope so.
Hold on.
No.
I think she should.
Keep going.
She had plans, so she couldn't kill him. She had to go. Yeah.
She had to go somewhere. She had, yeah. C continue
Okay,
on. See how
let's.
she
We're
reacts
done.
when it occurs.
Are you done?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Angel.
Good shit, dude. That's gonna be crazy, isn't it? That's gonna be wicked. Make it look good, please. Oh, you're gonna put this on too? You can stop it
Well,
now.
you know, why not?
Don't put the ending on.
Thank you. Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Honestly, best wishes to you and
Right.
ladies, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm unsettled by
Very real.
her.
I honestly
Stop
can't.
me again. This guy's incorrigible.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah,
Keep going.
I'm incorrigible,
All right,
but he's
I thought
incorrigible. We're both incorrigible.
you
Best wishes to you.
were him.
Thank
Okay,
you.
let me chat up her with you.
I have a meeting.
All right.
Well.
You can stop it.
Was that an act?
I don't know.
When she was like, that's gonna be some good shit. I was like, is she trying to become a meme? She did it.
I don't know.
That was weird.
Oh, there goes Drew.
Oh, we lost her.
Oh, damn
Do we
it.
still have audio?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's confusing. I don't know. But
I feel like it was her. Like, I feel like she meant everything she said, but she was playing off like the cool, calm demeanor.
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think she was definitely like, oh yeah, I would kill him again. But like, if she, I don't know, it felt like the demeanor was what she wanted
She also, there's like one point of it where she's like laughing or smiling. Cause like the interviewer says something about like how like you don't see a lot of like cold-blooded like female murderers. And she's like, says something like, well, it's all about like, yeah, we need more. Like, let's go, ladies. Like, something feminist like
supporting
that.
Supporting women.
Yeah. Yeah. There is like a, like, you know how they have statistics about like how many male pilots versus how many female pilots, how many male doctors versus how many female doctors, how many male serial killers, how many females. The numbers are just not, we need to break through the glass ceiling.
Women in STEM.
Come on, ladies.
Yep.
Maybe the problem is we just don't have the statistics because we're better at it when we want to get away with it.
Mm. Wouldn't it be great if, like, a lot of the men that got, like, imprisoned for murder were innocent and it was just women framing them? That wouldn't be great. That's not...
No. Cool. I was like, how do I respond to that? I'm lazy. Because I feel like, no. No. Wouldn't it be great if they're all just still on the loose because they fooled us into thinking we had them?
I don't know why you're against me.
God, Lacey, you're really against feminism right now.
Yeah. Ooh. What's your problem?
I forgot I'm supposed to support all the women.
Mm-hmm. Even the crazy ones.
Even the crazy ones. Like Angela Simpson.
Yeah, so that's Angela.
So, okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you tell us why they decided to give her a life sentence instead of the death penalty?
Because
I feel like a lot of times, like, sometimes it's just, like, the heinous nature of the crime, but sometimes also I feel like a lack of remorse kind of factors into...
I feel like, she pled guilty. She didn't have, like, a full, like, trial or anything. So I wonder if that was, like, part of the deal.
A deal, maybe.
But I don't know. Because she's in Arizona, and they do it out there, I think. So
they do.
I don't know. She also, she apparently has 4 kids. So.
And a ton of sisters in jail, so.
So much family.
She's sad, guys. Okay, are we ready to go into our next lovely lady?
I'd love to know who we're going to talk about next.
We are going to talk about Jane Toppin. Toppin? Toppin. Toppin. Toppin.
Toppin.
Toppin. There it is.
I don't know.
It's like, it's kind of like tampon. It's going to get confusing. So I'm going to start with a quote. She claimed her life goal was to have killed more people, helpless people, than any man or woman who ever lived.
Oh, specifically helpless people. Okay.
Which,
cute.
It's always important to have a goal.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good goal, Lacey.
She had one.
Exactly. Give me one second real quick. Ooh. Okay. So Jane was actually born Honora Kelly. She was born 1857 in the North End of Boston to Irish immigrants Peter and Bridget. Bridget died when Honora was 4. Bridget died of typhus.
Can you just tell me what her name was again? Is it
Honora?
A-N-O-R-A?
It's like Honora.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Peter was said to be a chronic drunk. Peter's her dad again. Prone to violent outbursts. He went insane and was institutionalized after trying to sew his eyelids shut.
Ah. Ah.
Yeah.
How far did he get?
I don't know.
Oh.
Far enough for people to notice.
A few years after that, or around that same time, Peter took his two youngest daughters, Honora and Celia Josephine, who was 8, Honora was 6 at this time, to the Boston Female Asylum and left them there for care. Because, you know, in the 1800s, when there are asylums, you can just leave your kids. The following year, Honora was taken by the Taupin family. She was not adopted, but instead she was taken as an indentured servant.
Well, fun.
Yeah. Her sister was left at the asylum until she aged out and then went to the street where she fell to prostitution as a means of taking care of herself. The Taupins gave Honora a room. She attended school, and from what it seems like, she had a nice foster sister. Unfortunately, Mrs. Taupin was very abusive and ridiculed her heritage. Mrs. Taupin was anti-Irish and anti-Catholic. It's believed that she influenced her to suppress her heritage, which led her to change her name to Jane Taupin. She took their last name and just changed her name to Jane. She then began claiming that she's Italian, which I don't think Taupin's Italian, and also Jane's not Italian, but whatever.
Okay, but I understand Italians are great, so...
They are. I'm not taking it away from that, but, like, you came from a very, like, her original name was very Irish. So, like, you would think that you would take a name that's pretty close to Italian. Anyway. Jane, who I'm going to be, that's what I'm calling her from now on, also made derogatory anti-Irish and anti-Catholic statements in order to kind of, like, suppress the abuse that she was getting from Mrs. Taupin. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Jane was described as jolly and having a great personality, for the most part. Her friends just really didn't like how much of a outrageous liar she was. And she was a huge gossiper.
Those, okay, I could see not liking the liar, but, like, sometimes it's fun to gossip.
Yeah, but, like, from what I've seen, I feel like she's the type of person that would have, like, gossiped, like, about everyone.
Mean gossip?
Like, your best friend.
She probably also exaggerated the gossip since she was a liar.
Yeah. When she was in her teens, like 16-ish, remember this is like the late 1800s, so it's not so crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was believed that she was once courted by an office worker who gave her an engagement ring, but he ended up moving away to another like village or town. So the relationship kind of fell apart. Cause when he moved, he fell in love with his landlord's daughter and married her. So now we have a lady scorned. When Jane was 18, she was released of her duties from the Taupin family, with her indentured servant, like, contract, I guess. She was given $50 for all of those years of work. But she decided to stay with the family for another, like, 10 years about. During that time, Mrs. Taupin died. And she stayed on to work for Elizabeth, her foster sister, for a little bit, until Elizabeth married. At 28, once she left the Taupin family, she went to nursing school. She started nurse training at Boston's Cambridge Hospital. She excelled at her studies, and patients liked her, but she wasn't liked by her colleagues. Because of the the gossip and the liar, and she
I thought you were going to say because she was anti-Irish.
No. She also learned that she really enjoyed experimenting on her patients with different medications. Very like Charlie Cullen type shit. If she liked a patient, she would falsely like change their charts or sometimes give them small doses of medication in order to make them stay in the hospital longer.
Okay.
Well, she just wanted friends.
Yeah, she liked them and she didn't want them to go home yet. I get it.
Yeah. She really liked giving different doses of morphine and atropine to kind of like mess and see like what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who doesn't know, morphine is an opioid, and atropine is an anticholinergic, which affects your heart. It pretty much tells your heart to pump faster. We use it in vet med. She had a very interesting outlook on elderly patients. Do you wanna guess what they were?
Did it involve murder?
Sort of.
I feel like she saw her mom in them. Or, you know, whatever you call the person who was
her indentured servant master. I don't really know what that title would be. She felt the elderly were useless and not worth keeping alive.
Interesting.
Yeah. She also enjoyed giving other drugs to people in order to stage a sickness, because then she could nurse them back to health.
Oh, so she was just like
a really manipulative.
Oh. That's not what I was going to say.
No? What were you going to say?
She is just such a good nurse.
Right.
Like, she just wants to use those skills. If you were trained to, like, apply a tourniquet, and then you never got to do that, that would be a little upsetting. Not upsetting, but, like, disheartening. Be like, right. I know how to put on a tourniquet. It's really cool. It's really fun. I wish that I came into the opportunity to put a tourniquet on. And so I could see why she would be like, if that was her situation, she'd be like, I'm going to just like chop off this person's arm and then I'll put a tourniquet on them.
Not even if we need to draw more blood.
Not like that kind of tourniquet. I'm talking like combat tourniquets.
Right.
Where you do the Velcro and then you twist until the pulse stops.
Right.
And then you have to write the time on it.
Right. Okay. In 1887, one patient, Amelia Finney, lived through Jane being her nurse. Amelia had just had surgery, and afterward, Jane had administered some bitter tasting pain med. Amelia remembers slowly slipping into unconsciousness when she realized Jane had gotten into bed with her and was like kissing her face.
Aww.
Jane must have been like interrupted or something, or like needed to be pulled out of the room for something, because Amelia woke up the next day. And immediately checked out of the hospital. She never really thought of it until, like, more information came out years later. She just kind of thought it was, like, a drug-induced dream. At one point, Jane was promoted to head nurse. After the previous head nurse died suddenly. This didn't last a long time due to she disregarded an important rule of not leaving the ward without permission.
I thought the rule was do no harm. She also disregarded that rule.
Well, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
After she disregarded this rule, she was discharged without receiving her nursing license.
Uh-oh.
Even though she had passed her finals and everything. So, like, she doesn't really have, like, I mean, she's not being, like, upheld to the do no harm thing because she's not licensed.
Okay.
So, yeah. Boom. Roasted. Sorry.
Yeah. You got me.
She didn't let that stop her dream. She went into private nursing.
Good.
Where she went to build a very good reputation as one of the best private nurses. She still, you know, enjoyed poisoning people and mixing things into, yeah.
It's important to have a hobby.
Right. In 1895, she poisoned her landlord, then moved in with his wife for about, like, 2 years before she ended up poisoning her. In 1899, do you remember Elizabeth, her foster sister?
The one that, like, took ownership of her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They met at a vacation home in Cape Cod, where Jane slowly poisoned her. Then when Elizabeth died, Jane told Elizabeth's husband that, her dying wish was, that Jane have her gold necklace and gold watch.
Yeah. All of this, yes. It's all making total sense.
Right. Jane went on to murder and poison her friend, in order to take her job as a dining matron at a theological school, where she was ultimately fired from after she lied to get into that job and take over for her friend. In 1901, from June to July, Jane was staying at a rental vacation home. When the landlady, Mary, or Maddie Alden, came to collect the rent that was owed, it was about like $500. Jane must not have had it, but you know what she did have? Mineral water with morphine in it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
What'd she do with that, I wonder?
Well, you know, she gave it to Mary because she looked parched.
Yeah.
And then over the next week, Jane continued to poison Mary, bringing her in and out of lucidity.
Yes.
Yeah. Only to plunge her deep into a coma. July 5th, Mary Alden died of appearing. It looked like it was blamed on complications of diabetes. Which also, like, how long have we known about diabetes? And, like, how would you treat it back then? How long have we had insulin?
I feel like not that long.
Well, so first of all, insulin is produced by your body.
Yeah, no, I know that.
So, forever.
Yeah, but like...
As a medication, I know.
After Mary died, Jane then moved in to the Alden home to help take care of her husband, her late husband, after Mary died. Because, you know, he's probably depressed and, like, needs extra help. Sorry, I lost my space there for a second. And, you know, during July, Mary's funeral happened. So Mary's family came around, and her youngest daughter, Genevieve, came home to be with her dad to make sure he was okay, attend the funeral and everything. And she actually suddenly died too. Yeah, it was weird. Like, some people thought it was like heart failure because of like the heartbreak of her mom dying, but you know, it's weird. That was in late July when Genevieve passed away. August 8th, the dad's name is actually Alden, I'm sorry. Alden died suddenly too of what looked like apoplexy is what they called it, or what I guess we now call is a stroke. And then
okay, Lacey.
Suspicious.
And then Lacey, I see your face. A couple days later, the oldest daughter in the family, Minnie, seemed to die of exhaustion after a short illness.
This family's really going through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. Bad luck.
Yes, true.
So, first of all, we've known about the symptoms of diabetes for over 3,500 years.
Really?
We understood the basic physiology for around 100 to 150 years. And okay. We've had an effective treatment for just over a century.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
So in the ancient times, they would treat the symptoms with diet, herbs, and exercise. Then they started doing fluid restriction and bland diets. And then in the medieval times to the 1700s, humoral remedies and opioids.
You said it like the same way every time.
Opiates. There we go.
Oh.
And then the 1800s to the early 1900s, they started doing starvation diets.
Oh.
And then around 1921, they started doing insulin therapy. Do you have any other questions about diabetes?
No, but it seems like starvation diets is very counterintuitive with diabetes.
So they also broke down the effectiveness of each treatment. So the diet, herbs, and exercise had very limited effectiveness. Fluid restriction and bland diets, poor effectiveness. The opiates, and humoral remedies, mostly ineffective. And starvation diets, a slight life extension. So it helped a little bit.
Yeah, you know. Okay, wow, I didn't know that much about diabetes. That's cool.
Diabetes. And insulin therapy is life-saving.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Would you like to know more about the pancreas?
No, that's okay.
No, I'm good. The pancreas is really important, though.
The islets of Langerhans.
I'm going to move on. So, you know, after this lovely family seemed to just, like, all pass away, super weird, but, like, understandable, I guess, from, like, different things, Jane returned to her hometown in hopes of marrying her dead foster sister's husband.
Sure.
I feel like this goes into, like, because ever, like, looking through the research, like, Jane was at one point, like, pretty jealous of Elizabeth getting married off. Mm-hmm. But also, like, Jane was also, like, engaged, and then he was left and was like, I'm actually engaged and getting married to someone else. So she was probably like, Elizabeth has that, I want that. And she just wanted to steal her husband. But anyway.
That's cute.
Yeah. Keep it in the family. What'd you say?
I was going to say that's the best way to do it, but then regretted it, so I stopped.
So something she did to kind of like help her advances with the husband was she felt that like his sister was like really in the way.
Of course.
So she killed his sister.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And was like, this is perfect. He's going to see me now.
This is perfect.
Grief brings people together.
It really does. At the same time, Minnie, the oldest daughter of the Alden Davis family that all mysteriously passed away in a month.
From exhaustion.
Yes. So Minnie's father-in-law, his name was Captain Gibbs. He summoned a leading toxicologist to Massachusetts, and he wanted the bodies of the family exhumed and autopsied. Because he felt something was fishy here. So the autopsies were performed super sterile. Again, this is 1901. They performed the autopsies in a barn right near the cemetery. Traveling is hard. And the specimens were sent to Professor Edward S. Wood, an instructor at Harvard Medical School. It was here that the bodies did have traces of poison in their system. So the police were involved at this point, and they were following Jane. Not approaching, just following. You know, because she just...
Bias.
Yeah, she was like right there when they all like died randomly. So,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a witch hunt, but like, you know.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a witch hunt.
So I'm sure you're wondering what's happening with Jane and the widower.
I'm wondering that.
So Jane's really having it. Like, she's trying everything. She even poisoned him to nurse him back to health. And that wouldn't work either. Like, she's trying her best. He ultimately kicked her out of his house. But it's okay. Because in October, Jane was arrested for the murder of Mary Gibbs. Nope, yes. Just kidding. Yeah, Mary Gibbs.
Ooh.
What proof did they have?
They did find poison in the system, in the bodies. However, I think the poison they originally found was arsenic. Because it turned out that the embalming fluid was mostly arsenic, which, you know, is a great way to make sure that the dead person is dead. But that was why that was. So I think what happened, sorry. It's an old-timey case. It's hard to get the details. I think what happened was they were like, yes, they were poisoned. They arrested her, put her in jail. And then, like, while they were trying to get, like, the trial, like, going and everything, they were like, just kidding, it's arsenic. Just kidding, we have reason to know why this is in the bodies. So she was, like, in jail for like months while the prosecution was like trying to like figure out how she killed these victims. But they did have motive. They there was a witness that confirmed that Jane owed the family $500 in back rent. A guest at the home around the time Mary, the mom, died, said that they overheard Jane and Mary discussing the debt, and Jane wanted to see about getting the debt dismissed, but that was denied. So Jane obviously was like, I'm not guilty. I didn't do anything. Yeah. After the whole arsenic mix-up, Captain Gibbs theorized that maybe Jane used morphine and atropine in her poisons of choice. Not really sure how he got there, but, you know. Seems a little fish, but whatever. Going off of that, the police did find a chemist close to the village where the family was all, like, killed, who swore that he did sell morphine to Jane before the deaths. So we've got a bit of a trail.
Interesting.
While awaiting trial, because Jane was in prison or in jail for like about 6 months before this, she began displaying unusual behavior, unusual enough that a psych exam was ordered. Do you want to hear what they, what old-timey diagnosis they gave her?
Yes.
Fits?
What'd you say?
Does she have fits?
No. They said that She had an absence of moral responsibility, lack of memory, and a tendency towards untruthfulness, and determined she was insane.
Okay.
Which, maybe she just got memory loss. She might not, she just might be a liar. But absence of moral responsibility, like, that just, so you're not just not taking responsibility for, like, your actions?
I feel like that's just a professional way of saying you're a bad person.
Ergo, you're insane.
Yeah.
During this, like, she was, like, in a mental institution at this point, still awaiting trial. She admitted that she had an irresistible sexual impulse to kill, which is interesting for a female. Because they mostly do it, like, task-oriented, not really for, like, sexual impulse, like men. And confessed to 11 murders.
It feels like a lot.
Yeah.
It does feel like a lot.
Yeah.
You could argue too many?
Ooh.
Just like a smidge too many.
Do you not remember her quote from the beginning?
No.
Oh, let me reread it for you.
Oh, thanks so much.
She claimed her life goal was to kill more people, helpless people, than any other man or woman who had ever lived.
Now,
that's right. It was important to have goals.
Yeah. What does she consider helpless? Because, like, did she reach that goal? But then, you know, she went after people who were not in hospital beds. So it's like, were they helpless? Do they get added to the tally?
That's fair. That's fair. I don't know. She eventually did have a trial because of the, like, psych eval and everything. The prosecution and defense agreed to find her not guilty by reason of insanity, which I didn't know. I didn't know that was an option back in the 1900s either. I'm learning so many things. So she was sentenced to Tunton Insane Hospital for life. When asked if she had any remorse, she said, "I have thought it all over, and I cannot detect the slightest bit of sorrow over what I have done."
Like Angela.
Yeah. She sat in the courtroom awaiting the jury to confirm her sentence. While doing this, Jane was chatting, laughing, exceedingly jolly and joyful. And she left the building smiling after finding out that she was going to an insane asylum for life.
Oh.
These women are positive about their future. So, like, good for
them. They're always looking on the bright side.
Yeah, this is kind of inspiring. After being committed, she then later on confessed to killing not only the Davis family by poisoning, but also to now a total of 31 murders, committing her first at Mass General, where she started her nursing program. So she's climbing up with numbers.
Yeah.
Jane remained in the lunatic hospital for 34 years until her death in August of 1938. She was officially diagnosed with moral insanity, which I guess with, like, today's terms, she would be, like, kind of fall under, like, psychopathy, like a psychopath now.
Did you say moral insanity or normal insanity?
Moral.
Okay. I thought it was normal insanity, and I was like, as opposed to the abnormal? But.
At the time, she was pronounced the most prolific mass murderer of her time, so she kind of achieved the goal.
There you go.
She was a source of study for the medical and criminal experts. She was comfortable in the asylum at first, but later she claimed that she was abused by the staff and ironically suspected that there was a plot to poison her.
Oh.
Because of that, she went on a hunger strike and dropped from 160 pounds to 80 pounds.
Good.
Wow.
That's smart.
That's half.
Eventually, she kind of got over that and was talked down from, like, hey, you're not being poisoned, you're fine.
She got hungry. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And she passed her time with little to no mention in the press until she, like, it was reported that she died.
Huh.
That's our girls.
I don't love that you said that part.
We don't support these women.
Or their
actions. They're so mean. Lack of remorse is always like, I don't know. Like that interview with Angela Simpson was so
unsettling.
Creepy. Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, if there was an interview with, like, Jane, it'd probably be the same.
It feels like they had the same vibe, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like, I mean, I don't know, Angela's childhood isn't very clear. She's never really opened up about that. But Jane had a very fucked up childhood, and, I mean, she sounded mentally unwell from the get-go, especially with, like, her dad trying to sew his eyelids shut.
Yeah.
I mean, that might, you know, traumatize a child.
Yeah. But, like, and I feel like you can, like, trace back, like, the lying and maybe the gossiping, because she probably got that from Mrs. Topin and, like, saw her doing that and was like, oh, this is how I'll fit in.
I was thinking that it was probably she wasn't given positive attention in the house, and so she found that when she gossiped or lied, she would get positive attention.
Look at us.
Armchair diagnosing.
So good at it.
Thank you. Oh.
Sorry, it was my alarm.
Okay. Yeah, but that's everything I have today. Anything else?
No, just, like, vaguely uncomfortable right now.
Thank you. That's what I aspire to do with my episodes.
It worked?
Yeah. I was thinking of, like, doing something, like, fun, like, you know, like, torture devices, but I was like, no. We can't. That's not me. We need to make... Yeah. Which, I mean, torture devices could make you uncomfortable, but that's what I strive to do, Lacey.
And you're so good at
it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like Drew's very hard to make uncomfy.
Yeah, I think I'd be easier.
I think it's a bit unsettled, is how I feel.
Yeah.
Did I achieve an unsettlingness with you?
I mean, I really... So I knew about Jane before, but I did not know where that meme came from.
Oh, and, you mean Angela?
Yes. And, you know, I just don't care for her. This could be considered like a hot take or controversial, but, you know, I'm just going to be real. I don't care for her beliefs.
Hot take.
Yeah, hot take.
I don't agree with the serial killer.
I don't.
To cut this out.
I know. I'm sorry. But, you know, I feel like our listeners deserve the truth about what I feel. And my feelings are that informants are not at the same level as child molesters. That's strictly my opinion. I don't know how you two feel. This is certainly not a group opinion.
Informants are definitely lower than child molesters, for sure.
Like, worse?
Less worse.
Okay, I didn't know where you were.
Better.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know where the gradient was either.
Yeah. I thought you meant lower as in, like
worse.
The
yeah, no.
Worst.
Yeah, as I said that, the gradient is clear in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm going from, like, worst to the top, down, you know?
Yeah, I was kind of going, like, deeper into hell with my gradient. So when you said that informants were lower, I was like, oh, they're deeper. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Respectfully, yep. I disagree.
That's not my opinion. It's the other way around.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I feel like if she wanted to pick two, like, I was going to say crimes, but informant really isn't a crime. But I will go with crimes. I feel like child molesters and just, like, rapists would be a good combination. Child molesters and animal abusers, kind of similar in that their victims are both, like, innocent. But informants, I'm sorry, I cannot bring myself to agree with her. And that's just how I feel.
So controversial.
I know. If anybody, like, I mean, come at me.
You're so brave. Speaking your truth.
What did you say, Lizzie?
You're so brave for speaking your truth. Yes.
Brave.
We should have done the we listen and we don't judge thing.
Mm.
We listen and we don't judge. I don't agree with Angela. I don't.
We listen and we don't judge.
Thank you.
I do think child molesters are worse than informants.
Oh my god.
We listen and we don't judge.
I feel like we're just going to say the same thing, just three different ways.
I was going to say, Jane had a goal. It wasn't a great goal. I don't really support that goal, but, you know, she had a goal.
It's important to have goals. And that's, like, that's what, like, motivational speakers will tell you.
Yeah.
I've never seen one in person, but I feel like that's what they would say. They'd say, you want to make a goal that is achievable, has a distinct timeline.
Yeah.
Which I don't, did she have a timeline or was it just?
Just a life goal, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
She's like, it's also important to have big and small goals.
You're right.
Oh my God. I still have glitter on me. What the fuck?
Oh, that's cute. I can see it.
We had the Kesha concert last night.
And
was there glitter?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I can't imagine leaving a Kesha concert and not having glitter on you.
It wasn't even ours. We didn't even come with it. We found someone that was like, here, take some.
Oh, okay.
We were painted.
I was picturing glitter guns.
No, we're lawn seats. We weren't in the pit. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.